Christ is risen. Risen indeed. Happy Easter. And this is the Easter Sunday. I said you enjoy the day, but we are continuing this Easter for a long time until the Pentecost. You all know that, right? So let's rejoice and be glad in it. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Can you say it, please? Let's rejoice and be glad in it. And I hope and pray that you all have an inspirational moment during this Lent. I had planned a little bit further, so I was kind of tired and cranky. I had to confess. Okay. And let me just to show you one, share you one story. Let conversation cease, let laughter flee. This is the place where death delights to help the living. It was written on a plaque at one of the physician's office. That reminded me of me. I read it somewhere. Excellent. And that reminded me of a TV show, NCIS, the doctor. I forgot his name, but who is in charge of autopsy? And he, Ducky, okay. He makes death so respectful and honorable, and he talks to the dead and asks questions sometimes, and then tell his assistant a story, whether it is in hypothesis or real. So it makes death not too scary. Does it? Let me share another one. There was a man who has insomnia, had to visit a clinic for a hopeful cure because he was not able to sleep at night. And when he met his doctor, and doctor asked him, what is the problem, the main issue, do you think you can go back to sleep? And he goes, oh, there seemed to be something underneath my bed and crawling up while I was asleep. Fear. Fear was the one. And then later on, he was not cured. So he met on the street one of his friend, and he was talking about, you know, I have problem with this. You look so miserable. What's happening? The friend asked him. Well, I've been not able to sleep for a long time. I'm so tired and everything. What is the problem? And then he told her again, why don't you just cut the leg off your bed? Sometimes, you know, we need to take it not too seriously, right? Okay. So let me share. So most of us have fear of death, and most of us fear of something. So there is no reason to be afraid of death as a Christian. At least I believe. And today's New Testament scripture verses are coming from John 21-18, where Mary Magdalene arrives at the empty tomb, and it tells us the shattering historical event. The death on the cross is the most excruciating death, and yet it is the most delightful news for our human beings by the evidence of this empty tomb. There are many controversial issues among theologians. How would you have reached to an empty tomb if you had been on the Easter morning? Jesus Christ died, but we live. He died for us. Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both and the dead and the living. How amazing is this? Therefore, we must take this death on the cross, seriously and holistically. We have to think of this cross at all times because it is the pool that overflows that perfect love of Jesus Christ. Do you have at least one cross and one Bible at home? Yeah. Turn around, just one? I have many. So we should take this cross very seriously and holistically. Whenever you see cross, there's a Jesus there, living and the dead, who died for you. How did you spend last 40 days, especially for the last 3 days? I believe Monday, Thursday's evening worship was spiritual, right? Amen. And many of you came out to sell Easter lilies. It was very inspiring to witness the teamwork and the people. Just, it was amazing. But the next day I was told it's so windy, we didn't make so much sale, but it's fine. We did what we can do, right? So praise God. And on Good Friday evening, we had somewhat newly experienced. If you have not experienced Good Friday, we did celebrate Tenebrae, which is a darkness, means darkness. And we had all the stations of the cross back of the sanctuary. And after the dark, we all saw how Jesus Christ went step by step. No? It was amazing. And Good Friday and Easter belong together. The death and resurrection of Jesus have commonly been seen together. And if it were not for the resurrection, there is no truth in the scripture. As Gospel of John 1:1 state, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. He is the Word, and the truth, and the life. The way, and the truth, and the life. So you and I have been blessed beyond measure. We have already shared. We know the good news. That's a blessing. Christ is risen indeed. He's risen. Jesus not only lives, but is the Lord. Excuse me. Marcus Borg and Tom Wright was having a historical Jesus debate in his book called The Meaning of Jesus, which deals with many controversial issues, liberal and conservative views, but they agreed on understanding of resurrection. Jesus lives. Amen? Amen. Jesus lives as if Easter were primary about the conquest of death and the promise of an afterlife. So secondly, an equally important meaning in the New Testament, Jesus is the Lord. Lord is one of the words used for God, and that is also sometimes has resonance of divinity. So as well human, as well as God. So Easter is utterly centered to Christianity. The world is preparatory school. Without resurrection, it is simply impossible to explain or understand in a world in which people suffer. Theological terminology is called theodicy, but I don't want to go in there. So we can go maybe in deeper in Bible study. But the resurrection is real. Christ is alive. Lee Strobel, who is a journalist, and if I remember correctly, he had a degree in renowned school, a law degree, is only one among many intelligent and scientifically trained men and women who have studied the record carefully and come to the conclusion that the evidence is overwhelming. He wrote a whole book, and I had a chance to meet him personally, and I had a conference, and he was sharing his personal story. His children noticed it. He was all the time in, I don't know, I cannot explain, but his children noticed his transformation. What happened to you, Daddy? So once he found out all the evidences and he believed, that changed the moment. Some people have their transformation that way, just turning this way. But some people gradually, it's a sanctification grace, by the grace. So leap of faith. Leap of faith. As we are going to have a Holy Communion today, it is an opportunity to reaffirming the assurance of hope. Jürgen Moltmann explains it so well about Christ's baptism that I would like to quote them. Yahweh's Ruach is God's own power of creation and the power of life, which is communicated to all created things in heaven and on earth. in considering Jesus' baptism and his endowment with the Spirit too. And then we have to understand the Spirit as a creative energy of God and vital energy of everything that lives, unquote. So, leap of faith. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and what's certain of what you do not see. Hebrew 11, right? If you have never been a step of, out of faith, and remember the faith is something you step out on and like a bridge over the raging river. And when we profess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we get to have a living spirit of Jesus Christ in you. Whatever circumstances, you can rejoice. And which can be reaffirmed and renewed by the baptismal covenant. So as we share our communion, you can have a personal relationship with God, renewing your covenant. In the Old Testament tradition, the Spirit is also the divine saving power through which that God led Israel out of slavery into the land of freedom. The continuing presence of Spirit in Jesus is the true beginning of the kingdom of God. So resurrection is proving that Jesus is the true king. That's why he's not here. Kingship and what we become when we believe, children of God. John Wesley says, having been obedient unto death, even death on the cross, Christ has inherited the dominion and to rule as king. And the last of these offices. First one, by the power of his resurrection as the Son of the living God, the risen one gives laws to the redeemed and to those who have been transformed by the gracious presence of a divine life. The role of the kingly offices is the restoring those to image of God in you. So when he had first instated in his favor, suggest the first salvific grace of regeneration. Death not only leads to forgiveness by the grace of God, but also to life of renewal. There is no resurrection without crucifixion, no regeneration without the cross, no kingly role without the prior priestly one. So today's Old Testament psalm, it's called 188, is Hallel Psalms, which were customarily used on annual festival, especially during the observance of Passover meal, and talks about God's steadfast love. You all know about what Hesed is. Have you heard about Hesed? That's the word Hesed. It's God's steadfast love. Its importance to maintain the personal and communal dimension of salvation. There's no word English equivalent to Hesed. It occurs 246 times in the Old Testament, more than half of those in the Psalms, and it is variously translated as steadfast love, loyalty, kindness, faithfulness, mercy, and loving kindness. And God's Hesed provides ever surprising basis upon which covenant is maintained. As we are sharing Holy Communion on this Easter Sunday, I'd like to remind you again that this means we are participating in Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Old Adam is crucified with Christ, and we call Jesus Christ the second Adam, right? Where the power of sin is broken and gets a new life. I hope and pray you will renew and get a new life as we celebrate a whole season of this until Pentecost, that Holy Spirit intercedes for you. And it is a sign and seal of our common discipleship. It brings us into union with Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Christ is risen.